How was that?
I didn't hear it because your mic wasn't on, Momo.
Oh. Well, take it away, producer Lindsay.
Thanks, Momo.
That's how I do the Chris Morales. I plug my nose.
Plug your nose.
Yeah. I love Momos. And Beto's is funny, but yours is the best. So,
okay. It's all right.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Listen to 90 minutes from wherever you are. And what you need to know today, this one's just for you, Momo, because okay. I know you love like the celeb gossip and stuff,
oh, yeah.
And I know that you love Adele.
Oh, yeah.
And Adele is feeling really lucky in love with her boyfriend, Rich Paul.
That sounds like a song, Lucky in Love.
Lucky yeah. in Love,
I think
yeah.
it is a song.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. So while gracing the cover of Elle's September issue, which came out yesterday, Adele opened up about falling in love. She said, quote, "I've never been in love like this. I'm obsessed with him," Adele told the magazine in the interview published yesterday. When asked by Elle if she would ever want to remarry, she said, "Yes, absolutely." She said, "I definitely want more kids.
Whoa.
I'm a homemaker and I'm a matriarch, and a stable life helps me with my music." So they also asked her about the engagement rumors, and she laughed and she said, "I'm not married. I'm not married. But I'm just so in love. I'm happy as I'll ever be, but I might as well be married."
Whoa.
So Adele is super happy in love, and that's what you need to know right now.
Wow. I'm actually a little nervous for her. Like, I'm happy for her, but I'm nervous for her because...
Why?
Because
you know...
Sedano and Cap, Momo and Yates. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, kiddos. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Lindsay.
Thanks, Clinton. Super excited. I only do that now just to make you mad.
I know. No, it doesn't make me mad.
All right. So, well, in case you guys didn't know, this is something you definitely do need to know, that Shohei Ohtani is not human. Feels like every time Ohtani plays in a game these days, he's breaking some sort of crazy historic record. And he did once again last night. According to ESPN Stats and Info, the Angels ace has recorded a monstrous 165 strikeouts in 20 starts this year. This places him third now in franchise history for most strikeouts in 20 starts. And Nolan Ryan holds the top spots for having 211 Ks in 1977 and 182 Ks in 1973. So considering that Shohei Ohtani is a two-way player, the fact that he's able to play at this level and just like pitch at this level is insane. We're just talking about a hitting record that he broke last week, and now he's breaking pitching records. It's just crazy to see. And I guess what you need to know is that you need to get out to Angels Ballpark and check out Shohei Ohtani next time he's pitching.
Beto says he were going to make a road trip out there and go see him play.
Have you ever been to Angel Stadium?
I've been there a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all right.
I used to cover them all the time.
Right.
It was so far.
So I have a question for you based on what happened in the Angels game yesterday.
Okay.
Did you watch that game? Did you see that rundown situation that turned into a mess?
I love that you think I would watch the Angels
game. I mean, you might have seen the rundown because it was that ridiculous.
Yeah, okay.
Let me ask you, and this is very deep baseball talk.
Yeah.
But for me, former ball player, I coach baseball as well. Rundowns that get above two throws are simply bad rundowns.
Okay.
You throw ahead of the runner, you run the runner back, and when that runner makes a play into the base, then you throw it, and if you don't get him, you don't get him.
Yeah.
That's what I was taught. And the Angels ran a play where the catcher, ball gets rocketed to second base, guy throws the ball home, the catcher with the runner halfway down the line, runs him back a little bit, but the third baseman leaves the bag to come down the line. Catcher throws it, rotates out. Pitcher fell down and wasn't covering the plate. So he just ran to a free base and scored a run that took the lead in the ninth inning. I'm of the opinion that that doesn't happen if you run that runner back to the bag, which is what I taught and I like most about rundowns. What are your thoughts on rundown strategy?
We had one rule, is that when you get the ball, you don't pump fake. You don't do all that stuff. You hold the ball up and you sprint.
Thank you. Okay, so we're on the same page.
All you got to do is sprint at the runner as fast as you can.
We're on the same page.
You don't pump fake. You don't do tricky
stuff.
You
hold it up and you go one if you go. We're on the same page.
And don't let go of the ball until...
So you're told by the other
teammate.
Right. Okay, we're on the same page. That's all. Just wanted to clear that up.
Yeah, frustrating.
And by the way,
Ohtani question, every time I watch him, I think about Lisa Fernandez, who is... for my money, the greatest softball player in the history of softball. There was actually another softball player at UCLA who was sort of like the Lisa Jr. Her name was Rachel Garcia. She just got done playing at UCLA. Lisa was the best hitter and the best pitcher.
Mm.
And it's in softball, this actually happens a lot.
Right.
You have a great hitter, great pitcher, and you can be good at both skills. baseball doesn't happen as much, mostly because you sort of have to specialize in it. But most, Clinton, you grew up playing baseball. Like, most really good pitchers also were really good hitters.
Typically,
all the way
up until high school.
Point.
Yeah, typically you become an upperclassman, you're a two-way player. And if you don't specialize, but the specialization thing has changed a lot in the last 15 years. That's kind of the whole issue with what is happening in youth baseball. But you're right. At the lower levels of the game, and I'm not referring to softball, I mean baseball, at the lower levels of the game, this happens all the time. However, that's the whole thing. It doesn't happen in the big leagues. And it hasn't happened for 100-odd years. And so for Shohei to be doing this, it really is quite remarkable. And I almost think, I'll say this, Linz, I'll go so far as to say that Shohei Ohtani's career in Anaheim has been a bigger waste than Mike Trout's. I really actually believe that.
Oh, wow.
I really actually believe that.
I kind of agree because he's so much more of a spectacle at this point.
Yes, he's a bigger star, flatly. You
know? Like, I saw people legit crying when I went there on Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night. Crying just like when he goes up to the plate because they're so excited to see him, which that's amazing. Like, I haven't seen that ever happen in a baseball game.
I've told this story a million times. Denver All-Star Game. He was facing off in the first round of the home run derby against Juan Soto. He got eliminated, half the park left. In the home run derby.
Wow.
It was nuts. I was like, wow, that's all you guys came to see? This is literally the All-Star game. What is going on? It was wild.
Ohtani to me is like what I told you, the basis for me of like somebody who's really famous or enough to have a docuseries.
Oh, yeah.
Could they credibly host Saturday Night Live?
Yes, he could.
He could.
I mean,
I don't know what kind of personality he has.
He's
a big enough star.
Right. Absolutely.
He's a big enough star.
Absolutely.
He's amazing. And by the way, what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, kiddos, like Clinton would say. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
Okay. Thank you. So we have a couple of lifestyle questions that we need to get to, which is, so my building has a couple hot tubs on the roof. And there's some like
a couple of hot tubs. How many do you need?
There's two. Right. Well, this is part of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go up there, it's kind of like a lot of people get in. You don't necessarily talk to the people in the hot tub. They're big. They're like, you know, they're not intimate at all. They're large. So you could probably put 15 of people in there without any sort of question. But I saw a very odd thing the other day when I was up there, not in the hot tub, which was a group of people wearing robes, like outside of their apartments on the roof before they got into the hot tub. And I wasn't really sure how to
react
to that.
Do you think they're all like from the Scott Kaplan?
I was just going to ask that. Were they 7'10 ESPN robes?
No, they weren't. But it occurred to me, I was like, this is not a public hot tub. It's certainly not private because anybody who lives there can access it. But there was something, I don't know that I felt violated by seeing somebody's robe, or jealous.
They had a swimsuit on.
But yeah, no, it wasn't even about that. But it had never occurred to me to wear a robe to the roof. And it seemed like, I was like, I don't really know if I like this or not. And I can't decide if I should now get a robe because oftentimes my concern when I get out of that thing is that I'm a little too cold. But it never occurred to me to wear a robe outside of
my
own
home. What do you normally
do
when you walk there? Do you have
clothes
on?
I just put my clothes back on and put a towel around my waist. You know what I'm saying? I have like a hoodie.
I think the robe is designed for exactly this purpose.
Do people, but this is what I'm saying. Is this, I mean, do you bring a robe to the beach? Like,
but that's different.
Okay.
Because to me, a robe is like a stand-in for a towel. It's like a better towel.
Right. But you use the robe inside of your home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very rarely do you see people rocking robes at anything even quasi-public.
Okay. I was going to say, I think that in my apartment, where it's set up, we have two hot tubs. Maybe the bigger ones, you might call it like a whirlpool, you know?
Sure.
And the smaller one is literally right outside my apartment. I go out the door and I walk maybe 150 feet and it's right there. So I'm not going to get all dressed and put my clothes back on, take my whatever. So like, but I also am not going to walk around at night because I go in the hot tub when it's cold out too in just my swimsuit. So I've worn a robe for that little walk over to the hot tub because it's just
I
easy
also think
to
it's
do.
A way of covering yourself.
Yeah.
It's
no,
a way
of like I'm not saying discretion. It was bad. I just, it never occurred to me that
so you
the
feel
robe,
like the robe is a in your own house kind of.
I don't know that my mind can't be changed on this. I had just literally never seen anybody walking down the hallway of my apartment with a robe on.
So I was not a big robe person until I had kids.
Okay.
Okay. And the robe is very functional because it has pockets.
Right.
True.
Where like if you're at the beach, I would argue that a robe is a more functional piece of clothing than a towel.
At this point,
think about it.
My point is, I might have to get me a couple
robes. Robe is kind of like a towel, and it has pockets.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the robe. right?
Yeah.
Because there's, especially for women, yeah, there's like little robe cover-ups when you're on a bathing suit, yeah, right? The little kimono.
This was not that. This was like,
I know,
a,
but this is like a...
Like a terry cloth. Like
this like was like a in the house huge robe. Yeah, yeah.
See, no,
like,
I'm
and
not,
it wasn't a towel either. That was the other thing. She had a towel, yeah, as well. Like, they all had towels.
I feel like the robe that I'm thinking is like the Hugh Hefner robe kind of thing that they had going on. So for me, like, that's not the type of robe I would wear out of that.
The robe caught me off guard.
There's different types of robes for different types of occasions. And I feel like there is a simpler version of the Hugh Hefner robe that you can use.
The hotel robe is probably the best example for it. Yeah. I need to steal a hotel robe.
No, you don't. Soon.
You need like the waffle type.
Yes, that's the
towel
hotel robe. Yeah. Yeah. You know, all the hotels that I go to when I travel, they know to have one of those there.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
They put it on the bed.
Two things, Clinton. I was going to say, it's like a spa thing, you know, like when women go,
right,
like if you go to
that's
like
a
women
spa,
do, but if you go to like the Omni Spa or like Versa Spa, you wear it around the whole place where you go down, you get your little,
they
the
get
water
you slippers
cooler
in a row.
I get that. That's
cucumber
a spa
water
though.
But part of it is outside. They have like a little whirlpool area outside.
I get this. I'm not saying anything is wrong with this. I'm
think
just
you need
saying
to change your mind.
I live in this building. I had never seen people walking around in robes, and it was just a little surprising.
I mean, they were doing some stuff, you know.
Yeah. <There's> that.
I would say robe needs to be over a swimsuit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean,
there's no like walking around in a robe just to like walk around in a robe.
That's weird. That's my, like Kaplan.
My roommate does that all the time. So I was going to tell you, Clinton, when I was in Vegas, my friend, he wanted to do something nice for me because he was snoring so loud the whole time that he felt bad. So he was
should.
Like, he got me like a, he booked
a
me
robe.
A, he bought me a robe. No joke. He bought me a robe from the gift shop and he booked me a massage because he's like, I felt really bad. And it's like a men's, it's a big men's robe that's like one of the towel ones, like a terry cloth robe that they had in the hotel that they had at like the MGM. It was the Park MGM. And I was just like, thank you so much. And I didn't want to be like, no, because he's trying to do it to be nice. So I didn't want to be like, no, I don't want it, but it's all yours if you want it.
I just, I don't
you
know.
You can have my robe.
Hold on. Kaplan, I don't know why he's tweeting us when he's on vacay, but yo, Clint Yates, I will get you an ESPN Los Angeles robe.
I don't
robe.
Want an ESPN Los Angeles robe, okay? I know that they're all piled up in the back room. I
gave
respect
mine away.
That. I respect that. My only thing was I had just never seen robes in like public, but I guess it's not really that public. I was kind of shocked. That's all.
Do you have a lot of people at your apartment complex at Airbnb? Because I have some at mine, and I feel like those
touristy. At my apartment.
It's complex. Illegal in mine too, but people still do it. So
right.
I'm just gonna say, I feel like a lot of those people are the ones that wear robes because they feel like, oh, I'm on vacation. I'm gonna do something a little different or weird, whatever. You know.
It was weird. I was like, why are you wearing a robe? And I was like, oh, right. You okay? Mm. I guess what you know. Yeah. It was oddball because I'd walked right out of my door, and the three people in robes walking by. I was like, oh, that's weird. So anyway, all right, I'm over the robes. I might get a robe. Just needed to hash that out. Now
I was
going to
say, you can have mine. It's brand new. Still got tags on them.
I'll get my own. Just say the big CY on the back.
All right. Coming up next, who at your work do you care about their opinion? Like, while I'm here with you right now, Clinton, I care.
Well, we've had this discussion.
When I go back home to my husband and kids, I'll still care a little.
Okay.
But there's some people I care a lot.
Really?
When we come back, I'll tell you next. Momo, CY, interested on cap, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Day. Coming back with Russell Westbrook's favorite.
I went to a family reunion this weekend.
Yeah.
This album was playing a lot. It was great. I surprised my family. They didn't know I was coming. Pulled up and they were all like,
what
are
you doing
here?
What's
up?
I like almost everything Beyonce does.
Mm-hmm.
If this wasn't Beyonce, I don't know that I would listen to it.
That's fair. I mean, you know,
do you know what I'm saying?
People,
is think, this the greatest
I,
song?
No, but I think a lot of what she was trying to do was introduce people to house music, which is very much a part of the community. You know,
That's right.
The black queer community that invented house music is one that is very much underrated and undersold in terms of who they are as creators. And I think she was trying to show a lot of love in that regard.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah. It's true.
All right. We had a good story to talk about. Jessica Mendoza was talking about this on the Buster Olney podcast, especially my former teammate.
That was a super
name drop, but I can really say
that. I saw Jess at the All-Star game. Probably going to see Jess in Williamsport. Is she going to be in Williamsport?
Oh, yeah. She's always there.
She's there. She was there.
Little League World Series.
Right.
Are you going to that?
Yeah.
I'm doing ESPN Social?
Going Thursday. No, I'm going to write a story about the international teams there because they were not international teams there last year.
Oh, that's right. It was all American.
It was 16 American teams. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good story. Look at you writing.
Thank you. Doing my best.
So Jessica had a good story on the Buster Olney podcast about Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that Mookie Betts has started to learn a lot from Freddie Freeman, that Freddie, when he does batting practice, a lot of times guys get out there and they're using batting practice to show off for the fans who get there early. Like, let's see how many home runs I can hit. And Freddie's like, nope, you know what I do? I hit a bunch of weak ground balls to one side of the infield because that's what I'm working on. Whatever I'm working on with my approach at the plate, that's what I do in batting practice. I'm not going to worry about who's watching or the need to show off.
Yeah.
And Mookie's like, that's a really good idea. I think I need to do that. These are the Dodgers' $300 million man and $180 million man or whatever Freddie's making. But I like that. The two superstars on the team learning from each other. Impressing each other.
I'm a little surprised, though, that Mookie doesn't use spring training to work on stuff. I mean, not spring training, batting practice to work on stuff, but fair enough.
But it's like a good approach. So my question is, who at work, who at ESPN or even just in the work universe, do you care enough about their opinion to like learn from, study, shout them out in an article if somebody was like asking you about your career? Who do you care about?
Who have you learned from? Quite a few. I mean, and I'll describe this more generally because I don't really have the time to name all these people. But like, this is what me and my friends refer to as the program. Like, you know, on your way up through what we do, we all talk to each other and make sure that everybody's got things in line for the next step. And we all sort of bounce things off of each other. Now, who's a part of the program? My friends call me the head of the program because I do this kind of stuff. I reach out and make sure that everybody who I feel is worth the time gets the time. You know what I mean? And so whether or not they work at this particular radio station, whether or not they work at, you know, the Undefeated where I used to work at, whether or not they work at the TV side, I think that this is vital to being able to do anything right, especially because, you know, there's so many backstabbers and there's so many people that want to see other people fail in this business. If you can't at least have a friend in each space that you work at, you're probably not going to be very good at your job.
So I think in terms of learning from from other reporters, right? Some of it is learning. Some of it is just like day to day. How do I do my job? I tend to work better in teams, in a group. When I feel like I do a lot of stories where I co-write with somebody. And if I don't co-write with somebody, I'm talking to my editor like four times a day.
Okay.
If I'm doing this radio show, I'm calling Lindsay, I'm calling Laura, I'm on the group text, sending texts. Because I tend to do better when I feel like we're doing something together rather than lone wolf, my time to shine.
Okay.
Right? And there's people who just work differently. Like Rob Pelinka is in his agency was better as a lone wolf, better running his own agency than being part of a giant. He was part of Arne Tellem's agency for a long time. But I tend to like do better. So I work pretty well with Woj. I tend to like feel like I know that when I call him, even if he's on vacation, like if he's at Disneyland, he literally was at Disneyland last week and I was like, hey, guess what? I just talked to so-and-so.
I got a person the name on this, by the way. Yeah.
And you got to call somebody. So I tend to work really well with other reporters, and if I don't, but what happens is you work well with certain people and then there's other people who don't work well with you. And once somebody burns me, then I don't work well with them anymore. Right. But generally speaking, I think Woj is your guy. Yep. For right now he is. Yeah.
So
I've had other people I've co-written with.
One of the people that comes to mind is actually somebody I don't work with. And this is why we sort of do well together is my man, Jake Mint. He runs Cespedes BBQ, which is the baseball site or the baseball tweet feed. And he works for Fox. And so great example of this. This year, he went to the Field of Dreams game. And last year, I had gone to the Field of Dreams game. So he was like, listen, I'm going. What's the lay? And I was like, here's the deal. And when he got there, he had a completely different story set, obviously, than I did.
Yep.
But at the time, he was like, I'm really glad I knew X, Y, and Z, because otherwise I would have wasted a bunch of time doing a bunch of other things that weren't really necessary mm-hmm. that I could have figured out by looking at once instead of five times trying to figure out what I was actually looking at. So I think there's a lot of that in it
yeah.
for me, because I get around to do a lot of things probably even just one time that a lot of other people might do for the first time. So I try mm-hmm. to share that knowledge. That to me, not dissimilar to, let's just say, Freddie Freeman. That's what the fun part is.
Yeah.
Writing the stories is one thing. Going to the events is another. But being able to talk about the experience with your peers, I mean, that's what we do yeah. when we're not doing the actual working.
So you don't know this about me yet, Clinton, but I have watched every episode of every season of the show Survivor.
Okay.
And one of my... I've learned a lot about life from Survivor. Okay. One of the things that I think is like, it's a variation of things we talk about in sports all the time. But generally speaking, people will get on the different tribes. Okay. And at some point, somebody will be like the leader of the tribe, or they think they're in charge. They think they're the one telling everyone, hey, we're going to vote off that guy. And they're like rallying everyone together. And they think they're the puppet master. And the second they get that edit, the second
you know they're gone. Yeah.
Because one of the first rules of Survivor is never think that you have figured out Survivor. Never think that you're running the game.
Would you ever go on Survivor?
My answer before kids was yes.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
But I feel like it'd just be too long to be away.
Okay.
Yeah.
In theory, I would do it. Okay.
I used to like to camp more. Now I'm a little bit bougie.
You don't like our idea of Camp 710? Not to rehash this. You were gone. No. You don't hear this. You don't want to go overnight.
No.
And capture the flag.
Actually, I think my answer is hell no.
Oh wow. Okay. As a former camp counselor, that is a vote across party lines. Just so you know, Ramona, because
it was
the
day
other...
camp, not sleepaway camp.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't. You know what? There was a point. There was a time in my life where I could share rooms with people, where I would live in a house with other people, and that time is over.
Wow. Okay.
Now it's just my family, maybe a really good girlfriend, and even that, I kind of want my own room. I'm grown.
Okay.
My last spring training trip, that kind of did it for me.
Oh, really? I remember that. Yeah.
Dude, my
friend.
Did
you bunk with friends?
Yeah. Well, like, I wanted my own room. I'm like, look, I'm 7 months pregnant. I am
yeah, you
getting
weren't
up
even
all
drinking.
Night.
Yeah.
I'm not drinking.
You
guys are all
with somebody else in
yeah,
there?
Yeah, well, my really good friend and I have been going to spring training basically every year for the past 10 years. And we always stay together. And the last couple of years, we didn't go because of COVID. So it was the first time in a couple of years.
So she was
like, oh, we got to go. And I was like, no, dude, I want my own room. Like, I want to. And then she like talked me into it, like, old time's sake. Don't worry. I don't care if you get up to have to pee in the middle of the night, blah, blah, blah.
That's brutal.
Dude. I did not remember her snoring like this. And I was like, middle of the night, and I was like, this is why I need my own room. I love you. We are friends.
That's on you,
though.
You shouldn't have caved.
I shouldn't have caved. I know. That's why, like, next time this happens, you got to, like...
You should have voted her off. You thought you were the leader of the group.
No, I did not think I was the leader. I did not. But this is, like, in Survivor, you never think you've made it, okay? Because the second you think you've made it, that's when you're about to get voted off. And I think about that all the time. Your real friends are the ones who tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Your real friends are the ones who tell you, hey, you are totally full of it right now. You are ridiculous right now. You need to do this. Like, and sometimes people tell you that and they're wrong. And I'll know they're wrong, but sometimes they'll tell you that and they're right.
And if nothing else, if they think that, somebody else might think it, so you can at least address yourself, even if they're wrong. You know, so that's
because I talk to myself all the time.
Yeah,
like I usually know.
You've demonstrated today that you're a big time overthinker.
Big time overthinker, very self critical, very self aware. Well, not always self aware. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, I'm very self aware. I'm not an overthinker, and
that's
I'm not,
a cancer thing.
I'm
yeah,
that,
that is.
I'm not that. I'm not that self critical either.
Yeah. No, I definitely talk to myself. Like I definitely will address myself in the first person. A third person.
I see.
Yeah.
But like, today Ramona, you had a good day. Today you did well. Room five, hot, not, sorry.
Cool mom's room
cool
five.
Cool mom's. Someone's going to say
that's
hot
That's probably
moms.
Another text chain.
I was like, yeah, I don't think that's what it is. You did well with that today.
Yeah.
That's good. Teamwork, right?
Yeah. Also, I think the second kid has really pushed me over the edge here, where I'm like, you know what? I don't care. It's okay. It's all going to be good. They're all happy. And we can't be perfect. And it's just going to be what it is. And everybody will sort of have fun mostly.
Right. No,
right?
Trusting people at work is half the reason why work is fun.
Yeah.
You know what, though? We're watching Mina Kimes and all these other people have to do a fantasy football draft together at work on
this
air.
Is great.
I would have so many enemies by the time this was done.
I know you would.
I mean, this is a long time to spend with anybody. Never mind with five cameras right in your face.
So I have a general rule that, you know, on as much as your fantasy team is very important to you.
Oh, no. Fantasy is pointless.
Your fantasy team is not important or interesting to anybody else.
There are certain exceptions.
We've been watching this entire show.
I think that this is designed to draw.
Hey, tell me about your bad beat in poker. Nope.
No, that's.
Tell me about your bad beat in fantasy last
week.
Nobody cares.
Field did this the right way, by the way. He's wearing a T-shirt. Everybody else is dressed like their own.
Field does a lot of things the right way.
Yes. We like Field. My cousin Field. He's not really my cousin.
Clinton.
Yes.
We have been talking so much about what LeBron James wants for the rest of his career. We finally might be figuring out what Bronny James might want for the rest of his career.
Wake up.
That's Clinton Yates. I'm Ramona Shelburne in for Sedano and Cap, ESPN LA.
Sedano and Cap, Momo and Yates. It's time for Big Deal or No Deal. Take it away, Lindsay.
Thanks, Clinton.
So
why don't we do it, Ramona?
I can't believe I got dragged into this.
Thanks, Clinton. That's what Ramona sounds like when she does it. Her Morales impression. Thanks, Clinton. That was way too high.
This is absurd. What do we got?
WWE announced today that it set a company record last week for the most WrestleMania tickets sold in the first 24 hours of availability. More than 90,000 tickets were sold for WrestleMania 39 after they went on sale last Friday. Of course, WrestleMania 39 is going to be held next year at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. And, of course, it's also going to be a two-day event spanning April 1st and 2nd, and that's 2023. So this is a crazy demand for WrestleMania. I know it's always a big attraction for wrestling fans, but it's kind of the first time, I feel like, since COVID really, you know, got out of the woods.
We'll just say post-pandemic.
Post-pandemic.
Even though it's not really post-pandemic.
Correct.
Yeah.
That, you know, the wrestling fans have come, you know, out in full force in such a way. So I want to know, is this crazy demand for the tickets a big deal or no deal? Clinton.
Yeah, it's a big deal. WWE is at a transition point in its existence. McMahon is on the way out, that being Vince. It's still a very popular event and promotion, as it's technically called, not a sport. And I'm not, like, arguing about that. I'm just trying to be correct in my verbiage. Yeah, huge deal. I mean, WWE is extremely popular, and for good reason. And they're actually, you know, listen, is that wrestling promotion always going to have its issues in terms of representation and all this other stuff? Sure. But where the WWE is in terms of what it looks like in the ring versus what the fans look like in the country is probably better than it's ever been. And so when people are willing to show up to support it, yeah, huge deal for me.
You ever been to WrestleMania?
I've not been to WrestleMania. I would go to WrestleMania.
What wrestling events have you been to?
Zero.
Really?
Well, that's not true. I might have gone to one wrestling event when I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I'm not, as a grown adult, I have yet to go to a major wrestling function.
So I went to a Monday Night Raw here when it was Staples Center. This is back before, like, I got into any wrestling, and I was like, I don't understand.
You were there for the spectacle.
And they're like, Daniel Bryan was like, yes, yes. And I was like, Nevin, what are they doing? He's
Those
just saying yes.
Days.
He's like, that's his thing. He's like, yeah, that's like his thing. It's awesome. And I was like, what? All he does is say yes, yes.
So like, wait, is Neva a WWE fan?
Oh yeah, huge.
Oh, that's amazing to know.
Like, I found out that we have the Peacock network because we have Peacock. He's like, yeah, I watched WWE. I was like, okay. I didn't realize that we were paying $5.99 a month for that or whatever, right? But he is really into wrestling. I kind of got into it through Nev. I don't have to like watch through my husband. I don't have to watch all the events with him. That's like kind of his deal.
Right.
But I went to a few events because of Ronda Rousey. So
okay.
I was kind of like the Ronda Rousey person towards
that.
The end of her MMA career. And then she transitioned to WWE. And because I had a relationship, I just covered her for a lot of things. She and I did a story together when she like joined WWE. So I went to the Royal Rumble when it was in Philadelphia. That was fun. And
That's
then I
tight.
Went to WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Wow.
New Orleans and WrestleMania were something else.
That's
can you imagine
a scene.
The type of characters you see walking through the French Quarter for WrestleMania?
I mean, I like wrestling. I like WWE. I would anybody out
there
want to invite the big CY to a WWE event.
I go to them all the time.
I will go.
I've gone to the last. I went to one in Vegas a couple weeks ago.
I'm not
took
going
home my
to
souvenir
Vegas
chair.
For that. I'm not going
well,
to Vegas.
They're going
to
be here before WrestleMania, and I am going to WrestleMania trying to get Sedano and Cap both to go. But I usually, you know, I've asked the last three times they've been here, and the only person that would go with me was Taylor. So next one.
Okay.
I think you were working that night, Laura. That's why you couldn't go.
I think the thing with wrestling is it's sort of like our love for Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like
it's
you're
goofy.
Either in or you're not.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, we can get into this a little bit. I like wrestling better because it's scripted. Like, I mean, it's the fun part
like
is finding. The fun part is finding out the story. Like, there's no world in which I'm too good for wrestling. I've just never been. That's right. All. I watch it on TV.
Yeah. You know, you do watch it on TV. Okay. So you're
I watch
on
the
it.
Big ones. I watch SummerSlam. I watch Royal Rumble.
Okay.
I watch WrestleMania for sure.
Yeah.
My man Benito Bad Bunny was out there jumping around, kicking people in the face a couple WrestleManias ago. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know what's going on. To
I think I was like almost. Famous when I went to Royal Rumble. Okay. Not really famous, but for like the so there had been rumors about Ronda Rousey joining WWE for a while, but I kind of was like behind the scenes of how they had to, they sort of had to smuggle her in there. Like she was like,
she was so big. Yeah.
Yeah. She was such a big star, but wrestling fans are so passionate that they like, you know, how the NBA fans track private planes and see where they're flying from.
That.
And that's when they find out who's like,
who's getting traded.
Yeah. Who's getting traded or when free agents
or coach is getting hired.
It's like that level with wrestling fans. And so people were like on the lookout for Ronda Rousey at that Royal Rumble. And I think she was flying in from, maybe it was like Miami or something like that. She had to like go not directly from where she was coming from. They like had her land at a different airport. They had her at a hotel under a different name.
Throwing off the scent.
They had to do all these things to like disguise this. And then before the Royal Rumble, she was like out in the trailer and they had to make sure nobody saw her out in the trailer the whole time. And they brought me in and I said, and I was like waiting and I was just like a guest of the, you know, like, hey, I'm just at the event. And I said to them, I go, listen, you don't realize like I am a fish out of water here. And people know that I did stories on Ronda.
Right. And if,
so
they
if anybody
see you,
sees me,
they're going to assume she's there.
Guess who saw me?
I don't know.
Ariel Helwani.
I was just going to say, I always see him. I saw him last time in Vegas.
And I said, you have to sit me where I cannot be on camera. If somebody sees me on camera, they're going to realize Ronda's here.
Yeah.
Because there's no other reason I would be here in Philadelphia at Royal Rumble.
I'm
not saying I'm so important. I'm just saying I am
okay.
going to be associated with this, and I'm going to blow your surprise.
That's a quality flex.
And they were
flex.
Like, we're not going to like worry about it. Like, you're on the other side. You won't be on camera. And then there was these twins. I feel like it was a female match and there was like the twins. I don't know their name.
Bella Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was their last.
I think so.
Last big pay-per-view.
And they came over to the side of the ring where I was sitting, where I wasn't supposed to be in camera, and it was Ariel, who has a huge following.
Yeah, that's what he
and,
did.
And like
for
tweeted
a while.
It some ways and it was like the secret was out. And I kind of was part of blowing
you
the
secret.
You
botched it. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't my fault. It was on
no,
them.
It's not
I
your
warned
fault.
Them.
Wow.
Don't feel funny. Bad, Ramona, cuz as a wrestling fan,
yeah.
we knew.
You knew, right? It was kind of out.
100%
right?
knew.
And everybody kind of knew when she was coming back after having the baby, right?
The Royal Rumble is the best time for people to like come back or
debut. Yeah, that's a great surprise
debut
situation because you're in and out. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
I like Mysterioso. Ray
Mysterio?
Yeah.
He's great. His son's wrestling too now.
Yeah.
Like a little tag team going on.
Yeah, he's really
Ray Mysterio's got to be the oldest active wrestler.
Yeah, he was awesome. Charlotte Flair. I like Charlotte.
Oh, I like her. She's great. Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty good.
Next? Hold on. Was that it?
Was that what you need to know? Yeah.
No,
that was big deal or no deal.
That was a big deal or no deal.
We have more coming.
What else we got?
Yeah.
I lost myself in the wrestling talk.
Okay.
Don't worry. We can talk wrestling for hours, Momo. Yeah. All right.
There's a whole show of that on this network. Good Karma Wrestling. Yeah. They put it out.
It's a good show. All right. So Boston Red Sox Hall of Famer David Ortiz was asked about the 80-game suspension given to Fernando Tatis Jr., of course, for his PED use. And much like Tatis's dad, Ortiz doesn't think that the punishment fits the crime. Tatis Sr. said, quote, "To destroy the image of a player for such a small thing, for a situation like this, it's a catastrophe, not just for my son, but for all of baseball. There's millions of fans that will stop watching baseball." And then today, Ortiz, who's a fellow Dominican, agreed that MLB didn't handle the suspension of Tatis correctly, telling MLB insider Hector Gomez, quote, "MLB needs to have some regulations before they make public news like the one that happened to Tatis Jr. I think that they haven't handled this situation the right way. We can't kill our product. We're talking about an amazing player here." Mm. Pretty surprising quote from David Ortiz.
Not surprising.
Not surprising. So is it a big deal, Momo? What
I think it's a big deal. Look, I'm always surprised at people who have been in the other side of the media, especially in a major market like Boston, who don't get what the media does.
Yeah, they clearly have not paid attention to
like
what the job is.
You don't understand what we actually do.
Right.
Like, there's people who, like, I'll be on our station and I'll be talking about the Lakers, especially when they have, like, let's say they're not good. And people are like, "Why are you such a hater?" And I'm like, I'm not a hater.
They're just
it's my job to talk about it and analyze
don't get
and report
me started about this.
Like,
yeah. Trust me.
But I understand that because those are fans who don't quite understand my role as a journalist. Like, they don't, my role is not to be a cheerleader or say anything about, it's like to call it like I see it or to report on the situation. David Ortiz was covered by the Boston media. He should know what the media does. Like, it's our job to report on it. We're not supposed to, like, pull any... We're jobbed... Like, you can't just announce he's suspended for 80 games without providing any answers. It's not hockey where they say you have a lower body injury and provide no further details.
I think this is a big deal because it also shows us... I mean, David, what happened in your career, player?
That's
like, you know what I mean? That's he's kind of opened himself up to a weird level of criticism
I'm
not really sure I understand why he would bother to even mention that. I mean, he's right. It is a disaster for the game.
Yeah.
Why the personal responsibility of Fernando Tatis Jr. is paramount to the responsibility of MLB to let somebody get away with breaking the rules. This is a fundamental misunderstanding about what not just the media's purpose is, but Major League Baseball's is as well.
So, like, should they have let him go? I mean, like, oh, I'm sorry, it's too big of a star.
I don't really know
bad
what,
for
he's,
the game?
What he's.
It
what
sounds
he's
it is bad for the game,
there.
But that's kind of on him. Not
it
on baseball.
Sounds like that's what I took away from it. It seems like he's implying that they should have just kind of covered it up because he's such a big rising star in the game that it would hurt the game so much if it came out. That's what I think he was implying.
I mean, over they're supposed to lie and say he got some other injury, or like, you know, do you want to cover it up with that? I don't know.
Yeah, that elbow's still not healing, right?
Right. That would have been weird. Very weird.
Weird for sure.
Yeah. Hey, guess what?
What's up?
We always talk about LeBron James, right? We always
talk
about
double tees.
Yeah, I know. Well, went long.
It's okay.
I'm
messing with you because Ramona has been very excellent at the teases today. I just wanted everybody to know that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm
five stars.
It's like an extended tease. It's sort of like bubblegum.
Extendo.
It's like bubblegum when you stretch it out.
I don't do
taffy.
That. I don't do that.
How about taffy?
I don't have 4 year olds.
It's like when Sedano and Kat were here.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
This is what Ramona was doing all morning in her pool.
Very on brand.
Playing with candy with children.
They're not listening to us.
Sorry.
There's a new report about where Bronny James might want to go when he gets done playing at Sierra Canyon, and it's not the NBA. That's Clinton Yates.
I'm Clinton Yates. She's Ramona Shelburne.
Thanks.
It's Sedano and Cap. We're ESPN 710.
I forgot our names. Ooh, what is this?
I don't know.
What is this? Is this one of the most influential TV shows of all time? This date in 1999. Can you name the music yet?
Oh, yeah. No, I know it now.
There it is.
I just realized that
I'm getting nervous just hearing it.
I realize that I often get this show and The Weakest Link confused.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happened.
Wants to Be a Millionaire in 1999 debuted. I feel like it became such a cultural phenomena that it became part of our lexicon. Like, I'm your phone-a-friend?
Yeah.
Who's your phone-a-friend?
Yeah, or your lifeline.
Yeah, who's your lifeline?
You get a lifeline.
Those terms did not exist until
One of the greatest game shows in the history of the United States of America. And it was so popular. It was very popular overseas, too.
Isn't it still on?
Probably, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I still think The Weakest Link was better, but there were similar veins. You know what I mean? There was no real. Was Reege the first host?
Late great? He was here. So it started in the UK. I think they're for
It started
2 years.
In the UK.
Yep.
Okay.
And then when they brought it here, Regis was the first host, which there's actually a really interesting.
Documentary?
Not a documentary, but a narrative podcast. I'm sure there is a documentary.
That's
will be
kind of like a narrative podcast is kind of like a documentary.
Yeah. So there's a really good narrative podcast. It was an NPR episode about how they cheated. Like a guy cheated when it was in the UK, how he cheated to win $1 million. And it's crazy how he did it. He had this whole method with like his brother that was sitting in the audience with sneezes and coughs.
Oh, it's
to
like
give
the
him the answers. Yeah. Yeah. And they found out. Yeah, there was this big investigation.
Oh, sure.
They found out that he was cheating and he had to give the money back. And
also, who's it hurting, though? Like, think about that.
Yeah, what's a good game show if somebody's not trying to cheat?
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, like when the Astros did that, it hurt baseball and the Dodgers
that's a different
and
story.
The, you know, it hurt, like, the credibility of the game. But, like, somebody cheats on Who Wants to Win a Millionaire, like, who's that hurting?
Sorry.
He gets $1 million. What?
Good point. Sorry, I just got really excited because I was trying to get the tickets for this LAFC game and they weren't working. And now they're working. So now they're working. Didn't mean to derail the segment.
So you got tickets for both of us?
No, I only got one. Bethel only found one. So what do you want me to do? I didn't hear you complaining.
No.
I complained.
I want to go home. Like, I'm old now.
I complained. I'm going to the stadium.
No, I can probably
They're
get
also
one
playing
Mario.
DC United. So, like, you know.
No, you're good.
Exactly.
I can probably shoot Mario text, but I don't look cute to go out today.
I mean, I'm not.
You look all right.
I look like a gremlin.
Did you work all night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It was like kind of wear your dress down day, you know, for us.
I'm in shorts and a Vince Scully t-shirt.
Yeah.
I wanted to come exactly like in sweats and a t-shirt. And I was like, I should probably put on jeans. So that's as much as I went.
I really don't wear shorts anywhere except around the house. But I just did today because we finished up the pool party. with the toddlers, and I had like an hour to hang out with the baby. And then all of a sudden, I heard helicopters by my house, and we get a lot of fires out there.
Okay.
So I heard helicopters, and I looked online, and there was a fire on the 118. I live off the 118 freeway.
That's a dagger.
And I was like, oh, I better go. Because I'm gonna be, I don't want to be late. Because like once there's a fire up there, the freeway gets shut down.
Yeah.
It could be like, and I didn't know exactly where it was. So I was like, I better go. Because if I don't leave right now, I'm going to get stuck in it.
Okay.
So that's why I'm in shorts and a t-shirt.
Beto's going on the I'll walk you into the suite plan. So that's how that's going to work. I hate
it. I think it'll work.
It works.
I just hate doing things.
You just got to act like you belong.
I do belong there. It's fine. I mean, listen. People know who I am. I just hate doing stuff.
Honestly, suites are never full anyway.
No, like, no offense, but like, I've gotten regular tickets and just
everybody walks. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I just, you know, anyway.
It is the radio, our suite, you know, for the radio station.
I thought it was Jacob and Ronnie's suite.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was like a Laker situation.
No, it's not. I just wanted to say that. Sorry. I didn't mean to get all distracted.
It's okay.
Anyway.
Hey, we've been talking about LeBron James wanting to play. Wanting to play with his son, Bronny James, at some point in his career, which would have to be at least 2 years from now.
Okay.
Because Bronny is still at Sierra Canyon.
Right.
And if Bronny is good enough to be in the NBA, LeBron would like to play with him. And I thought that is a wonderful goal for a father.
Washington Wizards, come on down.
I'm joking. But I have yet to hear anything from Bronny. Like, does Bronny think that's fun?
That's a good question.
Because I mean, I like to do things with my dad. He's like a fun guy. But like maybe debut in the NBA? I don't know. I'm a fun guy. According to On3 Sports, Jamie Shaw.
Okay.
Oregon has emerged as the favorite for Bronny James in terms of recruiting. Bronny is ranked as the number 38 overall prospect in his class and the number 7 combo guard. He's in the class of 2023. But there was a sense that he might be able to go to the NBA straight from high school because the rules
how real
are changing.
That ever really was though, but from a talent level.
But every year that goes by is another year LeBron would be playing in the NBA because he's like theoretically waiting for him. I guess he could retire and sit out until Bronny gets there.
Come back, yeah.
Come back.
This is why I said this is why I mentioned the Washington Wizards. They're the one team that would try to find a way to get LeBron in. And
you think they're the one team?
What team would create that kind of a circus that actually is any good? There's not a ton. And there's not a ton that I think LeBron would go to.
Well, if LeBron is still a Laker, if LeBron is a Laker and he's under contract for this year, he can do an extension anytime between now and June 30th. I think he's going to wait.
You think the Lakers would do that?
They had Shaq's kid on their summer league team.
Summer league.
They had Scottie Pippen's kid on their summer league. I mean,
Shaq's not on the team, though. Shaq's not on the team.
I know, but he's a Laker legend. He's got a statue up front.
It's true. I just feel that that's...
Hey, it's Scottie Pippen's kid on the team.
That's kind of a... That's a little bit of a poverty franchise move if you're, like, angling to get LeBron and his kid. That's very sort of Manute Bol, Muggsy Bogues kind of operation me. To me. That seems a little bit...
But, like, I think Bronny's going to be good. I know. Look, he's the number 7 combo guard in his class. They don't make up those rankings. They don't add points. Like, this... No, he's not quite Arch Manning, who's the, like, number 1 quarterback in this year's class going to Texas.
Allegedly.
I think he's good.
A lot of people... Have you seen him play football?
No, I have not.
Have you talked to anybody who scouts football?
Oh, no, I haven't.
There's a thought that if his name wasn't Manning, that he might not be playing anywhere, and that's why he's going
to
Texas.
Look at you pouring cold water on this.
I'm just saying that's why he's going to Texas in a relevant football program, just letting you know.
Yeah, Texas has a football program, but they're not as good.
Texas lost to Kansas last year. You know how I know? I was at the game. It was ridiculous. Anyway,
I have no idea why you would be at that game.
I was doing it. It's a whole thing.
Oh, is that?
Yes, Heisman House.
Yeah, Heisman House. Okay, exactly. That was good.
Yeah, it was cool.
But Bronny doesn't really do interviews, okay?
I don't know the sound of Bronny's voice, to be very honest.
Good for him. Yeah. I mean, we see him all. He's got like more Instagram followers than any of us combined,
right.
Okay? And he's definitely, I think they're making a documentary, Lindsay, about them at Sierra Canyon. I think there's like two documentaries at least.
Documentary Lindsay. Oh,
yeah. I live up by Sierra Canyon, so I've been out there and watched him play. I saw him when he was a freshman. I thought, I don't know, not like surefire NBA kid. But he was a freshman, and now I see highlights of him. I'm like, oh, he looks like he can play.
Well, he just banged on that kid from France the other night. That was an incredible dunk. Did you see that?
Skip Bayless didn't think he was that great.
Skip Bayless, that guy. Anyway.
That was the thing.
Don't get me started.
Did you see that going around on the interwebs?
I saw that going
around. On the bird.
Skip Bayless is a chump. Anyway, well, you can quote me on that.
You know what's fun, though? You know what's fun? Like, you could almost write the troll jokes yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you could almost be like, LeBron. Like, this was almost a reverse troll because he was sort of complimenting his dad.
No, it was.
He was like, your dad would have dunked it with a left hand.
It was a generational diss, is what it was, because that's all Skip Bayless had.
But he was complimenting LeBron. He was like, LeBron would have dunked it with his left hand, and normally he's like taking shots at LeBron.
But then if he said LeBron is doing this against French players, why can't he do it against anybody in the NBA and the Western Conference? That's what he would have said. Don't get me started about Skip Bayless. Shouts to Jalen Rose, by the way.
That was, I mean, it is kind of funny, though, at this point. Like, you're like, oh, it's going to, somehow it's going to, somehow have nothing to do with LeBron, it'll be about LeBron.
Exactly.
It's amazing how he does it.
So you think he might go to Oregon?
If he goes to Oregon, one, it's a Nike school, right? And LeBron obviously has his own signature shoe line at Nike.
He's got a building named after him on the Nike campus.
It's not the house that LeBron built, though.
No.
That would be Michael Jordan. But, like, that, if Bronny goes to college, in some ways that would be the natural progression for Bronny. To go to college.
Yeah.
But, like, this is the first indication that maybe he wants his own career and to make his own way in the world.
I could accept that. I mean, you know how hard it must be to be LeBron James' son anyway?
Yeah.
Never mind trying to play basketball with LeBron Raymond James. I don't think that that's necessarily a goal that I would have if I was his age. Like, it'd be cool to do for, like, a summer league.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to do on, like, I don't know, some sort of traveling Nike squad or whatever, but I don't think that in a professional context, that's a little weird. It's not like a baseball team, you know what I mean, where you're kind of, there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of games, you don't really have to hang out with each other. You're on a basketball team, you're all hanging out together. That's awkward.
So I think the children of famous people are really interesting. I went to school with Chelsea Clinton.
Right.
Okay, that was not a
Chelsea
brag.
Clinton went to the high school up the street from my high school.
Okay,
so I've,
the Sidwell
I've hung,
Friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Sidwell Friends in D.C. I remember when I went to Stanford, like, there's actually a real quote, if you LexisNexis me of when I decided to go to Stanford. I did it right after Chelsea said she was going to Stanford.
Okay.
And I, in the LA Daily News, told my friend Vinny Bonsignore, well, I saw Chelsea going to Stanford and I figured, like, if it was good enough for the president's daughter, it was good enough for me. There's like a real quote somewhere, like can you imagine high school senior Ramona saying that? I
quickly,
really did that.
Quickly, so when Chelsea Clinton used to go to parties in high school, the Secret Service used to come.
Yeah.
And so, like, they would just hang out outside the front, and it was always funny because they couldn't do anything, so you'd always be getting trashed and, like, making fun of them, and, like, they were nice. But
no, we could always tell they were coming because they were, like, like, Stanford kids are pretty preppy, but these were, like, uber preppy, like, slightly older kids, and you're like, oh, that's Chelsea.
Right.
Chelsea's here.
Okay.
Clinton, this is fun.
This is good. This is good. I am rushing to Bank of California Stadium.
How fast
to
are you
meet up
go?
With Beto. I'm getting on the train. So
that's
what I'm going to do. Yeah.
That's a very East Coast thing.
Exactly.
Well, to get
it
on
works.
The train.
It was Briones' idea. So.
Yeah, more of us should do that.
Right.
Laura, how you doing?
I'm sorry. I was checking down the line at LAFC.
Oh. You're not going to go, though. You didn't get invited.
No, I didn't get the invite.
Neither did Lindsay and I. All right, Momo, CY.
Goodbye.
Sat on cap, ESPN LA.